Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me, bejewel me, either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry, peel me a grape.
Greetings and welcome to another week of Whitley on Wine. Today we're going to, run far afield from an exclusive wine discussion. I have Chef Taki. And Chef Taki, help me with his last name again.
Laliotidis.
Laliotidis. It's Greek, obviously. And Chef Taki is the executive chef or estate chef at La Crema Winery up in Sonoma County. But they have some far-flung ventures, too, because what we're going to talk about today is a new line of wines that La Crema has from Monterey County. Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, cool climate grapes. And it's very topical at this time of year because you can pair these wines so nicely with foods around the holidays.
That's right. Yeah, those are perfect varietals to be using and consuming during the holidays. Obviously, you know, the Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir especially has quite a bit of bright acidity. And the appellation itself, it's unique in that, the Monterey Bay Area, it's a little bit cooler than our Northern California mm-hmm. Appalachians, Russian River, Anderson Valley, and
A lot of people don't realize that.
Really?
The vineyards are kind of inland, so that area, Santa Lucia Highlands, and I know where the facility is. It's kind of right on the Highway 101, and people aren't necessarily aware that as you drive north, say from Paso Robles, the farther north you go, if you look at the thermometer on your car,
right,
you see the temperature start to plunge.
Exactly, yeah.
It really does get cool there, and it's a perfect area for Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
And Pinot Noir, exactly. As you know, both of those varietals do extremely well in cool weather.
Mm-hmm.
And within our collection of appellations, Monterey Appellation consistently has the longest hang time. We're generally, we have bud break 2 weeks before our Northern California Appellations do, and normally harvest 2 weeks after.
Yeah, explain to our novices what bud break is.
Basically, it's the bud of the tendril that's going to produce the cluster of grape that mm-hmm. Comes out.
And that's the start of the cycle.
And that's the start of the cycle, and it can be measured. Winemakers look for, we keep a mm-hmm. very good record of this, but, when the bud break happens, the climate around the bud break, how cold it was before, mm-hmm. how cold it was after, things like that. And all of that, we keep on record, and it helps us determine forecast what our harvest is going to be like.
Well, I've always, I won't say always, but for, I'd say the last 10, 12, 14 years, I've had this real affinity for Chardonnay from Monterey County. I think Pinot Noir was a late bloomer, no pun intended. Pinot Noir is much better now from Monterey County, but I don't think that's what it was known for 10 or 15 years ago, and now there's some very famous vineyards, and Pinot from Monterey County is growing in demand and growing in popularity. But I think it's always been a good region for Chardonnay because of this coolness, and you get really complex Chardonnays that have layers, and I think it's because of this long hang time.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what, a lot of winemakers, they struggle. They use various techniques, whether it's a little bit of irrigation or, the way they control the crop by, trimming, various farming techniques to really maximize the amount of time that the grape spends on the vine, because that's where you're getting your flavor. That's where you're getting mm-hmm. your complexity is from that long maturation on the vine. And there's no technique. There's nothing you can do to really compensate for that.
Okay. Now, you're a winery chef, but I think I should tell people that you also have a restaurant here in San Diego. You're a local guy.
I am a native.
You went to Granite Hills High School.
Granite Hills, class of 93.
And what's the name of your restaurant? Let's tell people what it is and where it is.
It's Trattoria Firenze, and it's in the Claremont Mesa area. It's across streets would be Balboa and Genesee.
Balboa and Genesee.
Yeah, okay. And we're going on our third year of operation.
So it's got to be a family thing because you're up in Santa Rosa.
I am. You know, I when I got back from Europe, I was working at the Four Seasons. I worked there about a year and a half, and my parents approached me with this opportunity. Uh-huh. And so I kind of took the ball and ran with it. And it was great. It afforded me an incredible opportunity. I got in there and did a lot of the work myself, developed the budget and designed the place.
But you ended up, you like wine. You ended up in the wine country. I think you worked at French Laundry for a while.
I worked there for almost 2 years and made my way to France and got a formal education there. And mm-hmm. Learned more about the classical approach to wine and food pairing, mm-hmm. as you know.
Okay, so now you're the estate chef at La Crema Winery, and the winemaker says, "Okay, Chef Taki, here's my Pinot Noir, here's my Chardonnay. Make a dish for me that's going to make this wine spectacular or be a great pairing. What do you do first?"
Well, the first thing we do is engage in a deductive process, and it's a really critical process involved in the wine and food pairing, obviously, and we start with talking about the particular characteristics of that vintage. You know, how long, for example, the grapes were on the vine. You know, when we harvested, the sugar level that the grapes are harvested at, and then we move into looking at the clarity of the wine, the color of it, assessing the aromatic mm-hmm. characteristics of the wine, and then finally kind of tasting it. Certain appellations tend to have very consistent characteristics and yield these characteristics.
And that's what terroir is all about.
Exactly, it's
sure.
kind of that sense of place.
Yeah,
and that's really the beginning. And sometimes it can be as immediate as just wow, immediately on the first that waft that on the nose that the initial sniff, you get this overwhelming. It could be citrus, it could be more exotic fruit. For example, like the Monterey Coast tends to exhibit a lot more exotic and floral notes, heavy floral notes. The Chardonnay, for example, actually both the Chardonnay and the Pinot. The Pinot is a byproduct of the type of the clone varietal that they use. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the beginning of into this whole wine and food pairing process.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you one second. You know, I want to let people know we're talking about Monterey because this is a new line of wines for La Crema from Monterey. If you followed La Crema over the years, you know that they've made Sonoma Coast Pinot and Chardonnay and Russian River and
Anderson
and
Carneros.
Anderson Valley. So this is something new for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we love it and embrace it. It's our winemaker's extremely skilled lady, Melissa Stackhouse, loves what she does, and I think it really shows and comes through in her product, in our product.
So when you taste these wines and you're thinking about food pairings, what are the flavors that you're picking up in the wines and also the balance and the structure? Because I know you factor that in. And then how do you transfer that to, okay, I'm going to make a dish that's going to complement this?
Right. So in the beginning, it's actually pretty simple. We engage in that deductive process and kind of take notes and talk to the winemaker. But then you start to think about the food and kind of foods that this wine stimulates you to think about. And, you want to think about some of the basics, and that is, whether it's complementary or contrasting. That's really the foundation of a good wine and food pairing. It's from there that it becomes a little bit more complex because you start to incorporate various ingredients, flavor profiles, and of course textural profiles. A lot of people don't think about wine as having texture, but really, if you think about the finishing effect tannins
oh, sure.
and have on your palate, you know, they can be soft tannins due to, you know, malolactic fermentation. They can be a little bit more structured and angular and leave your mouth kind of, mm-hmm. you know, salivating.
And I don't want to get too technical, but, you know, we hear winemakers frequently talk about lee stirring with Chardonnay.
Exactly.
Well, that helps the texture.
That's right.
That gives you a little texture on the wine that wouldn't be there otherwise.
That's right. And in addition to adding some aromatic qualities to mm-hmm. it, you know, sur lees is a French process. They leave the Chardonnay on the yeast, and they do stir it, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But it contributes kind of a yeasty characteristic to the wine. And, you know, these are all things that you need to consider. If your wine, for example, well, let me go back and just, you know, in short, talking about contrast, if you think about timeless pairings, perfect pairings, to me, I always think about creme brulee, and I use this example because it really demonstrates how contrasts in a balanced setting really complement each other. With the creme brulee, you have, you know, obviously that crispy, brittle, you know, sugar. That's contrasting that creamy.
That's my favorite part.
Really? Yeah. A lot of people would say that.
The caramelized
I've seen a lot of people just eat, you know, the sugar.
I finished the rest of it.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But yeah,
it wouldn't be the same though without that crust.
I totally agree. Yeah. You wouldn't have that contrast. It wouldn't contrast that the creaminess of the custard, mm-hmm. the mild heat, you know, after the bruleeing process warms a bit of the custard. The rest of the custard is cool or cold. The bitterness of the sugar because it is burnt, so it develops some kind of slightly bitter nuances to that caramel. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have this very rich and sweet decadent custard below again. Contrasting it, so that's really, really what we're trying to do is feature certain ingredients, elements in the dish that are going to contrast the wine, but also complement it because of the balance involved.
Okay, let's start with the Chardonnay. Tell me your impression of the Chardonnay, the flavors that you get, the structure that you perceive, and then give us a dish that you have created to pair with it.
Well, our Monterey Coast, both the Chardonnay and the Pinot exhibit incredible amounts of lush, vibrant, fresh fruit. A little bit different than, you know, some of our northern appellations, which may be more on the citrus side. Mm-hmm. Maybe have some more like vanilla and a little bit more heavier, richer tones.
Yeah, I'll give you a term that we use when we write wine reviews. Some of the Monterey County Chardonnays have a more oily texture.
Oily okay. would be a great term to describe that. But there is no. Both these varieties, they don't lack in balance and a bit of acidity.
Yeah, sure.
Especially the Pinot Noir, which, mm-hmm. you know, as you know, that varietal is known for that. So that particular dish, I kind of tend to focus more on the exotic tones of, that particular wine, focus on more of the exotic tones, the pineapple and things like that. And so we developed a dish with pumpkin. I've seen pumpkin used oftentimes in Indian cuisines, mm-hmm. and you know, they serve them in curries. Mm-hmm. So we've made a very simple pumpkin bisque, very straightforward. Now you can get a pumpkin bisque recipe. We have it on our website, lacrema.com. But I infuse it with a little bit of fresh ginger, and it really kicks up the aromatic quality within the soup. It helps bring out, obviously ginger has quite a bit of, mm-hmm. it's a very, very sharp kind of cross between acid and tannin. It can sometimes be, you know, really hot, and it really helps bring out a little bit of that kind of savoriness in the pumpkin.
You know, I'll give you an example of what you're talking about. You know Pat Roney, who owns Girard Vineyards. Well, maybe you don't know him, but
I don't.
He's a guy in Napa who owns, and he has a Russian River Chardonnay. And I was having lunch with him at a restaurant in San Diego, and we ordered mussels, and the mussels were in a curry sauce. And we had it at first with the Sauvignon Blanc that he makes, and then we switched to his Russian River Valley Chardonnay, and both of us sort of like at the same time looked at each other and said, oh my goodness, it goes much better with Chardonnay because of those flavors that you're talking about.
Exactly. And you know what, it can be that immediate, you know when you mm-hmm. you hit the nail on the head with a pairing. And I believe that that's just one of those pairings. You know, you get that rich velvety texture mm-hmm. from the the soup itself and that aromatic quality from the ginger, and it just complements contrasts.
If anybody out there is planning a pumpkin soup for for Thanksgiving, that
right.
would work.
No shortage of pumpkins.
What about a squash that's with savory spices?
Squash would definitely work. Assuming that
you
roast
a butternut it. Squash.
Yeah,
roasting it
would be better as opposed to making like a wet method.
Yeah.
Because you're concentrating the flavors in mm-hmm. that squash.
And caramelizing them.
Caramelizing it. You don't want to caramelize it too much.
But you're getting bring the sweetness out.
Exactly. You know, you're concentrating the flavor by roasting that product mm-hmm. and kind of a lot of you're losing the volume in the squash itself, basically.
Right. Now, what about the Pinot?
The Pinot. Pinot is incredible. And, you know, I just have a hard time thinking of Pinot without immediately going to duck. Duck in very many different ways. I think Pinot and poultry is just an incredible combination, whether it's chicken or duck. Chicken doesn't have the flavor profile that duck does, but what chicken does have is it's a great medium for – it's a great vessel for flavor. I mean, you can put any kind of spice, any kind of dried herb, mm-hmm. just about anything you want on chicken, and it just
– And I would submit you can have a white or a red wine with it.
I would agree. Yeah. Wholeheartedly, yeah. I've done both.
At my Thanksgiving table, I guarantee you there's white wine and red wine on the table at the same time with the bird.
Absolutely. And that's a good point. You know, with these with the seasons coming up, you know, a lot of the foods that we generally eat around the holiday season mm-hmm. tend to be a little bit on the rich side. You know, you got your turkey, obviously, ham, you know, meats that are generally cooked for long periods of time, really concentrating flavors, developing, you know, intense amount of compound flavors. These wines are great for that because they're light, they're fruity, they're acidic. You know, they're going to help just bring out all that incredible flavor, those compound cooking flavors that are derived from such longer cooking periods.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the structure and the flavors of the Pinot. I know you live in Santa Rosa, and at the risk of alienating your neighbors who are fond of Russian River Valley Pinot, and then, you know, maybe a little further south of you, you've got the Carneros Pinots. How is the Monterey County Pinot distinctive? How's it different? And what is it about it that you like?
It's different, and you can pretty much wrap it up in just the amount of fruit that this particular varietal has and exhibits from that appellation. The fruit that we get in our Northern California appellations are more concentrated. Jammy would be a good word.
Maybe more black fruits.
Fruits, yeah. You know, but just generally a lot more concentration in the Pinot Noir from, you know, our Northern California appellations. Monterey has fruit, obviously red fruit, but the type of fruit that we think of when we're talking about or describing that wine is things like cherries, lighter fruits.
Strawberry,
yeah. Maybe a little bit. That's pretty much where we like leave it. You start to go into more of the earth tones. Vintage, you know, it tends to exhibit a lot more of the earth notes, maybe some black tea, mm-hmm. definitely more, it kind of straddles that line, you know.
And those are very Burgundian notes.
I was just going to say, it kind of straddles that line between kind of old world and new world. You know, just a lot more complexity in the flavor and a lot more that bright acidity that you're going to get when you have, you know, less of that lush, rich, mm-hmm. kind of almost sweet, jammy fruit because, you know, the sweetness in that kind of almost sometimes mitigates the acidity. And our Monterey Coast Pinot, it's lacking in that really rich, lush fruit, but has a lot more of that kind of softer, vibrant mm-hmm. Red fruit.
I also think that the earth notes that you're talking about are very complementary with savory things.
Oh, yes.
And so when you're especially talking about something like Thanksgiving, you know, the typical family has a lot of different things on the table. You have stuffing, which is very savory, and you have other side dishes that are very savory. You have the roasted bird, which, you know, if it's seasoned the way my mama seasoned it, it's pretty savory.
And how is that?
Well, just a lot of spice.
A lot of spice,
you know?
Yeah, okay.
So it's
sage
pretty savory.
And things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think an earthier Pinot Noir actually works better than something that's just a fruit bomb.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would agree with you. And again, getting back to that kind of Burgundian thing, you know, things we think about, you know, forest floor, earth tones, wood, you know, mushrooms. These are all ways I would describe our Pinot Noir from Monterey.
Now, what is the price range of these?
It's right around the $19-$20 range.
For Pinot Noir, that's pretty reasonable.
I would say so. And you know, we have
they got to have a reserve in there for some, you know, more bucks, I would think.
We have
if not, it's in the pipeline, I bet you.
that's interesting. I know we have. I'm not sure that we have a reserve. We have our 9-barrel.
Yeah, I will say this though: La Crema wines have always been a good bang for the buck. They're not the $60-$70 wines. They're the $25 wines, sometimes $30, but in that ballpark. And they've always over-delivered on the price.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, you know, our success is a testament to that. You know, people love Pinot Noir and people love La Crema. And generally, when I tell people, you know, you're a chef and who do you work for? Pinot Noir, La Crema, their eyes just light up immediately and they're very familiar with the brand and really love the Pinot.
Okay, now I got a trick question for you.
Okay.
Okay, now I know the winemaker comes to you and says, okay, here's the wine, you know, create a dish. You ever make something and take it to the winemaker and say, okay, make a wine?
No. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. That'd be great.
Wouldn't it be great if it
yeah.
did?
Just open it up, you know, season it with a little bit more salt or, I don't know, something. How would you eat?
You know, I've always felt that chefs have great wine palates because you have to know flavors and you have to know balance and whatnot. Do you ever get into, you know, philosophical discussions with winemakers about that exactly that sort of thing?
Yes. And, you know, I don't know if this is a good time to bring it up. But, you know, it happens all the time. You know, and one that comes to mind, obviously, is chocolate and wine. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are for it. Some people are against it. Some people, you know, whatever your stance is on it. Ultimately, you know, my job isn't really to tell people, you know, the do's and don'ts or, you know, what's right and what's wrong. Ideally, you know, the best thing I can do, you know, if I can show people how and why, mm-hmm. and you know what the process is, you know, getting back to that deductive process, you know, educating people and allowing them to form their own opinions on it, that's really what it's about. You know, once you get up into the higher stratospheres of, you know, the cognoscenti and all the various, you know, philosophical debates on
it. I gather you're not a big fan though of dry red wines with chocolate. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a chocolatier on recently to talk about that. And you know, the rule of thumb is fairly simple. The chocolate has to be not as sweet as the wine.
Yeah.
So it's a tough match with a dry red wine. It can happen. You know, you can find something that actually works. But if you're talking chocolate that has some sweetness to it, you need a slightly sweeter red wine.
Agreed. That or, you know, some type of ganache or some type of fruit filling or something inside it. If you're doing straightforward chocolate, you know, a really good premium chocolate, and, you know, you get some of these really big California wines, it's, in my opinion, you're setting yourself up.
Now, what was interesting about this interview, though, is he had wine recommendations for white wines with chocolate.
Wow.
And it they made sense and they were logical.
Was it white chocolate or was it dark chocolate also?
White chocolate.
White chocolate. White okay. chocolate. Yeah. Oh, that would make sense.
And I don't remember the chef's name. I apologize for that. But he's going to be doing a demonstration at the San Diego Bay Wine and Food Festival this weekend, and I plan to attend because I want to test his theories.
Well, great. You'll have to follow up, or I'll follow up, and I'm curious to know what you think about that.
So, I mean, I always run into this question around Valentine's Day. Because everybody's talking about, well, you know, I get emails from people, you know, what wine should I serve with chocolate? And, you know, they want to have their leftover Cabernet. And I say, no.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity to explore the world of late harvest wines.
And the same thing with champagne. You really want to, sweeter champagne. You don't want to have your Veuve Clicquot Brut with dessert.
I would agree.
So, anyway, Chef Taki, it was a pleasure having you here, and it was, you know, great to find out that you are local. So I hope we see you again.
Thank you very much. If I can just add one more thing. You know, there's a really great website that we have with our winemaker on it, www.lacrema.com/winter. And she is on there, and this is interactive website, and you can actually go through a deductive process with her. And I think it's a wonderful resource for people who are really interested in finding out how to approach wine pairing.
Got to wrap it up, but I will give out that website again next week.
Thank you very much.
That's all we have time for. This is Robert Whitley for Whitley on Wine. Until next week, ciao. Bought me a